Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Ellen Emery, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Force Health Protection and Readiness. Also joining us in our conversation is Russ Sanford, Director in IBM's DoD practice. Ellen, could you define in more detail force health protection? What are some of the broad areas that make up force health protection?
Well, force health protection is really, it's both a concept, it's a comprehensive way of looking about how we as an organization and as a force look at how we take care of ourselves. Force health protection really addresses three areas: how we improve existing health, how we proactively address health threats for protecting folks, and finally to assure that we have the capacity to take care of injuries and illness acutely as well as in the long run.
When the average person thinks about medical readiness and assessment, they tend to think about pre-deployment. But the DoD has recently touted the rollout of the post-deployment health reassessment, or something referred to as PDHRA. What exactly is this, and why is it an important tool for force health protection and readiness assessment?
Well, before I answer that direct question, I think I need to give you some context about how the force health protection program looks at health and health assessment in along the continuum. We strive to recruit healthy people to begin with, and then we have a program to assure that their health is sustained over time. And we do that through periodic health assessments. We do that through various occupational skill requirements where for different specialties we need different things. We have immunization schedules. We have a wide variety of things that bring people to the medical system to make sure that their health is maintained. When we have the deployable force looking at them in terms of how are they ready to go, we make sure that during wartime that there is a fairly rigorous process to continuously screen individuals for their medical preparedness, both physical and mental, before they go, while they're there to sustain their ability to perform their function in a warfighting situation, and then when they return. Formal programs to assess this really were instituted as a lesson learned from the first Gulf War, that we didn't have good baseline health information on the veterans that went to war in the first Gulf War. So duty policy and programs were set up to have a pre-deployment assessment process where we capture baseline health information and laboratory information. We have expanded upon that for in-theater surveillance to monitor exactly what kinds of health issues come up during deployment. And we have now more preventive and medicine capabilities in theater to deal with documentation of the health experiences in theater, including injuries, combat, but most of our health issues associated with diseases and non-battle injuries. And so we have to have a capacity to deal with those things and document it in their health records. So we spent a large amount of time expanding that capacity. And then when people return from deployment, it's important for us to assess and understand and screen how they believe their deployment experience, what concerns they might have about their deployment experience on their long-term health. And so we have a immediate upon redeployment process for asking folks about that and having doctors, you know, sort of check them out on the way out the door back to their home station, or if they're a reservist, back to civilian life until they're reactivated later. What we learned in the last few years through research is that folks who have been in a combat experience come back and they are frequently very anxious to get home, and they are likely to say, "I'm fine, just fine, let me go home." So that initial assessment process immediately upon redeployment may not really get the true indicator of their concerns and the things that are going on with them mentally and physically. So with some research outcomes that had been done in the 2003-2004 timeframe, what we learned is around the 3 to 6 month timeframe, individuals were starting to manifest issues. And we decided that it was important for the department and the military health system to establish a safety net, if you will, or a screening process that would allow us to identify and give service members an opportunity to identify concerns and problems before they became chronic, so that there was a much better chance of us treating those issues and, you know, obviating a long-term chronic problem, whether it's physical or mental. So we instituted that post-deployment reassessment process. We announced it early 2005. We had pilot projects in the fall of 2005, and we really have just really gotten, you know, sort of going in it early in 2006. So we've had about 8 months of expanding experience in this area. It's very important to us.
Ellen, could you tell us a little bit about the military health system and specifically, more specifically, about the treatment facilities and the health centers that are served by your directorate? Who do they serve, the population base, and what kind of services do they provide?
Well, there's over 238 military treatment facilities serving the forces around the globe. And we have very large centers of excellence in Washington, D.C., in Bethesda, San Diego, Portsmouth, Seattle, San Antonio. And then we have other smaller clinics and ambulatory centers at military bases all over the globe. We also have mobile medical capabilities that are in our theaters of operation, and they provide care on an ongoing basis in Iraq, Afghanistan, and in the AORs of the other combatant commanders, Korea and South America, the Caribbean, and so forth. So these military treatment facilities exist to provide ongoing care to individuals for whatever reason. But an important part of that portfolio is the Force Health Protection Program being executed along with day-to-day health care delivery. So it's a, you know, a twofer, if you will, in those locations.
The global war on terror represents the largest ongoing mobilization of reserve deployments since World War II. Many rules and procedures that have worked well for smaller mobilizations of shorter durations may no longer be suitable for larger and prolonged mobilizations. Since your office ensures that the medical lessons are learned from previous conflict and integrated into the new policy, could you elaborate on initiatives such as DoD Instruction 6490.03 that your directorate has undertaken to improve the medical readiness of the total force?
Sure. For the listeners, DoD Instruction 6490.03 actually is our deployment health instruction. It replaces a prior instruction that was focused on how we do surveillance of health in deployed environments, and it expands it to the full spectrum of deployment health issues that we are trying to assure that we not only surveil but document and then follow up over the life of a service person's career. The key features of that instruction are to document the linkage between occupational and environmental monitoring and the locations of individuals in a combat environment, especially if there's combat exposures or occupational exposures that might have an impact on an individual. The only way we would know is if we would document acute symptoms at the time of that exposure and then identify that cohort for follow-up throughout their lifetime. We also update the policies and standards for how we are going to prepare for and screen for health requirements for deployments, and that is in this instruction as well. And we also define the prevention and protection requirements for the services to execute as they prepare for deployments and in deployments. And it applies not only to the military but to our DoD civilians and contractors that deploy.
I understand there's something called the Deployment Health and Family Readiness Library. Could you tell us a little more about it? What does it contain? How is it structured to assist the service members with the delivery of the health service?
This library is a virtual library. It's available on off a website, and it's really a clearinghouse of the very best of what we have to say that each of the services and our office has published on a wide variety of topics that relate to deployment health and deployment health concerns. It's written with different customers' viewpoints in mind. We have a section that deals with a child's understanding of these kinds of issues, one for families, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and that, as well as commanders and service members themselves if they want to get into some more detailed information. It is an award-winning site, and it really does provide fact sheets, guides, and other products from emotional health to infectious diseases to environmental hazards, as well as what we have in the way of capability to deal with those things. And I'm very proud that we've been able to pull this together because it's been extraordinarily helpful, and we have a very high rate of utilization based on the number of hits that we have.
So that's excellent. Ellen, I only have a minute. But you described earlier that the force health protection represents a continuum of care, ranging all the way back from enlistment through retirement. As such, the portability of service members' health information is very critical. Could you elaborate on the upgrades to the military electronic health record, and what are the core benefits, and does it link to the VA's computer patient record application?
The Department of Defense, along with VA, is participating in a national initiative to create a good electronic health record. And DOD, because it has a program now to that will assure that we capture electronic health records for all of our forces and beneficiary, the ALTA program is a newly established program that is about to be completely fielded everywhere, and it will capture electronic health records for all of our forces as soon as it is fully deployed. It is not the standard that we're all working towards. However, we believe us in partnership with the VA and other industry partners that we'll be able to deliver, a very positive way to capture and mine that information for good health outcomes and research, as well as to better manage our forces because we are so widespread. So it's a very positive thing. It's very important to us. It's not exactly linked with VA, but it's very close, and we're working towards that.
Great. What are some of the innovative ways to protect the health of deployed forces? We will ask Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Force Health Protection and Readiness and Director of Deployment Health Support, Ellen Embry, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.